With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sådär då. Välkomna till fotboll och dem som hällde special.
Ja, avslutningsspecial.
Ja, det är speciellt på många sätt.
Mm, det kommer vara vårt sista program.
Ja, inte riktigt sista program.
Nej, sista programserie.
Exakt.
Efter 1,5 år har vi hållit på. Med att prata om damfotbollens betydelse för samhälle och väldigt olika spännande teman som man kan använda fotboll som metafor till att kanske förstå andra delar i samhället.
Ja, och i och med att jag har lite separationsångest och inte kan säga att saker och ting sista gången, så säger vi att vi avslutar det för nu, men man vet aldrig om det kommer tillbaka igen.
Nej, det vet man aldrig. Det kan det mycket väl göra. Det som däremot känns, tycker jag, det är också alltid mycket separationsångest, men det som känns bra är att under de här 1,5 åren, kan vi prata mer om på slutet, så har det, tycker jag, hänt väldigt mycket. Alltså de här frågorna som vi tog upp som kanske kom då och då, tycker jag är en del av vardagen med att, i alla fall i Sverige, att man uppmärksammar liksom tjejernas rätt, alltså lika rätt till både spela fotboll och till jobb, och alltså hela jämställdhetskampen har gått åt rätt håll. Men också, ja, damfotbollen är stort, har fortsatt utvecklas under de här 1,5 åren. Samhället är på gång. Men vi har ju en ledfråga som egentligen handlar om att vi har någon tes att faktiskt att idrott, och i det här fallet damfotboll, har haft en ganska stor betydelse för samhällsutvecklingen.
Och det kommer vi fokusera ganska mycket på i de kommande avsnitten. Men innan vi går in på hur vi ska göra den här serien som vi har planerat nu, så tycker jag bara att vi ska berätta lite grann vad vi är.
Mm. Vi lägger upp, jag tog en bild på dig innan, så den får man titta på om man vill.
Ja, den ska jag se om jag har godkänt den först.
Ja, men det är en poddstudie i Tika. I en förort till Nairobi i Kenya.
Och poddstudie kanske är lite väl att ta i, men det är en preliminär poddstudie i mitt hotellrum just nu.
Ja. Och vi anlände ju i morse.
Jag märker att vi pratar båda två mycket långsammare än vanligt. Jag tror att vi är ganska trötta. Vi reste ju nästan ett dygn nästan.
Ja,
kom fram i morse till Nairobi där vi blev upphämtade av en som heter Dedan, som vi också kommer förklara mer om senare. Men han körde oss ut i Tikatown,
där Angaza Football Academy, heter de Football Academy? Angaza är hela själva konceptet. Det är i alla fall en liten fotbollsakademi, eller det är en biståndsorganisation som använder fotbollen som ett av medlen att nå framförallt barn och ungdomar i slumområdet som ligger här i Tika.
Ja, precis. Så vi bor på ett hotell här i Tikatown som ligger ungefär 10 minuters promenadavstånd från det här slumområdet som ungefär, där det bor mellan 80 och 100 000 invånare. Och vi har hängt där hela dagen idag. Vi är ganska trötta nu. Det har varit en lång dag som har varit extremt, ska man säga, intrycksrik. Helt nya miljöer. Och i den här slumområdet då, som de även kallar det själva, så finns, precis som Per sa, den här Angaza. Där de hjälper barn från fattigdom eller från gatan ganska mycket genom att bedriva meningsfulla sysselsättningar och fritidsaktiviteter.
Och vi har ju faktiskt pratat om det här, att vi har haft Sverige som fokus ganska mycket i den här podden, men att det kan, alltså i alla samhällsskildringar tror jag att det är väldigt viktigt att även titta på ett större perspektiv. Och vi har haft det funderingen om året, ska vi titta på den här frågan även utanför Sveriges gränser. Och nu var det så att god vän till mig och även kollega Andreas Sjöhagen har ju bott här vid två tillfällen, 3 månader i sträck, och man har byggt upp den här akademin. Och då pratade vi om att vi kanske skulle göra ett sista avsnitt där vi verkligen tittar på titta på en annan plats i världen, hur det ser ut och vilken betydelse fotbollen kan ha. Kan ge det för perspektiv på Sverige, men hur kan det ge för perspektiv i stort?
Mm.
Då sa Andreas, men vadå, vi åker till akademin här i december. Och fick vi även med, och så berättade han det, vi var vår tränare och för laget, för fotbollslaget. Och vi har två spelare från laget som följde med, som också vill se någonting. Så vi kanske får träffa dem lite kort i den här programserien.
Ja, det kommer vi verkligen göra tycker jag. Det roliga är precis som Per, att vi är fem stycken nu här på den här resan. Och vi har fått ganska mycket uppmärksamhet idag när vi har gått omkring på gatorna. Kan inte du berätta lite, vad tycker du har varit liksom... Vad tar du med dig från den här dagen? Nu är vi snart...
Nej, men alltså jag tar med...
Rundar av den.
Ja, men det är ju någonting... Alltså man skiljer... Och man vill prata om normer en del i den här podden. Och nu är det väldigt så att man är ju verkligen inte norm här. Utan en sudfärd gör att man ser väldigt annorlunda ut och får extremt mycket uppmärksamhet. Mm. Och... Både blickar och skrik och tobab och vita mannen skriker ju barnen framförallt till oss allihopa. Och vill ta och känna, börja med och första som hände att de ville känna på håret och blev väldigt lyckliga. Så att, men det har varit en känsla att man känner att man skiljer sig från mängden och som är mycket perspektiv. Och därför tänker vi att vi gör inte bara ett avsnitt utan vi vill göra fler för att kunna få lite olika perspektiv på det här. För det går inte att sammanfatta i en intervju på något sätt.
Och det kanske inte går att sammanfatta i fyra intervjuer heller. Eller vad det nu kommer att bli, tre. Men däremot så... Fotbollens betydelse för samhället och här då i Tikka och Kenya kanske... har ju olika... Jag menar, olika roll för olika, i olika perspektiv. Så att vi får se lite olika... träffa lite olika personer och berätta deras syn på det.
Mm. Så du var ju precis inne på det. Så det den här programserien kommer att handla om är vår kärnfråga. Liksom, vilken betydelse har fotbollen för samhället? Och vi tänker oss, vi får se exakt hur många program det blir, men ett antal program med olika personer som kanske har olika infallsvinklar i den här personen. Och så förhoppningsvis så kanske vi får en lite spännande, helt andra berättelser som det handlar om.
Och vi har ju gett alla våra intervjuobjekt under de här 1,5 åren ungefär, har ju fått den här frågan. Vilken betydelse har fotbollen för samhället enligt den personen då? Så vi har ju ganska många människor att jämföra med sen, det som vi kommer fram till här. Så det ska bli kul att vi i en avslutande reflektion verkligen kan analysera det här utifrån vad vi har sett under tidens gång och vad de personer vi träffat tycker och med den situationen som befinner oss nu.
Mm. Och därför, ni som har varit med lite grann, konceptet kommer att vara så att nu har vi på det här lite grann ett tag. Vi ska snart på en intervju i det här programmet, så blir det ett ganska klassiskt program. Men vi gör ingen liten analys efter den här intervjun, utan vi återkommer med en annan dag med en till intervju i liknande med ett nytt perspektiv. Och så kanske vi återkommer med ytterligare en del. Och sen så hör vi oss när programmet är slut. Då reflekterar vi på hela den här resan och alla de här delarna och försöker se om vi kan bidra med någonting i det resonemanget.
För vi kommer resa runt lite grann här, träffa en del folk. Både folk som är verksamma inom fotbollsvärlden och sådär, även barn och ungdomar. Och sen ska vi ju svänga till Nairobi och till någon nationalpark och kolla på djur eller på safari. Så att vi kommer ju vara med om en del här som vi också kommer kunna implementera i podden på ett eller annat sätt.
Och vi kommer aktivt arbeta med de här människorna och se om vi kan få någon egen känsla. Inte bara höra deras känslor.
Vad är din känsla nu då?
Ja, min känsla nu är att det första som hände när vi kom ut på flygplatsen, det var ett bagage borta, men det var någon som kom till oss och såg att vi hade en bollsäck med oss, hade väl en 30, ja, vi hade tror jag, över 70 bollar med oss. Det första frågan var, skulle jag kunna få en boll? Det är det första som händer i landet. Det säger någonting, och det är bollkopplade till idrott, att där, redan där fanns en idrott, en betydelse. Varför vill han, det var den första frågan, det var inte pengar eller någonting, det var bollen. Och sen var det som jag tyckte att man såg när vi kom med allt material och mycket grejer, men att det barnen ser är bollarna. Och hur efterfrågar de här, och jag kommer ihåg att jag bar bollen, så alla gick och tittade på mig. Det var nog för att jag är vit, men att de fick hålla en boll. Och jag vet också, du pratade med några tjejer som hade fotbollskläder, som de spelar inte så mycket boll, men...
Nej, det var ett jättegulligt tjejgäng på, de var 10 år. Och liksom hade liksom full, såg som de skulle spela match liksom, nästan, det var bara benskydda som fattades. Strumpor och skor och shorts och väst och alltihopa. Och så frågade de om de hade haft träning. Nej, det hade de inte haft. Skulle de ha träning? Nej, det skulle de inte ha. De hade dessutom också jullov nu. Men de var så stolta över att vara i sin fotbollsmundering, så de sprang runt i det mest hela dagarna och skulle spela fotboll imorgon, sa de. Mm. Så det var och liksom en vettig anledning till att på sig det även idag.
Ja, fråga om man ville träna dem, men det är väl deras identitet. Så att jag tror att den här sporten verkligen för samman folk och skapar någon form av identitet. Men,
ja. Och alla som frågar var vi kommer ifrån frågar också om vi har träffat Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Så att vi har ju en stor anknytning till fotboll i Sverige genom honom här.
Och så svarar vi helt, nej men Lotta Schelin, hon har vi intervjuat i den här podden. Jaha, nej, de känner inte riktigt till henne än, men
snart kanske.
Snart, efter det här besöket så. Ska vi påa vår första intervju?
Ja, precis. Vår första intervju som vi kommer ha här är med Josef Ogutu.
Andreas beskrev ju, det är han som känner allt och alla. Det är han är kärnan, även fast inte han arbetar här, men han har varit där, varit med längst. Han är den äldsta medarbetaren i Agasa och han verkar vara som en, liksom, en fader över både barn och ungdomar. Liksom. Man såg vilken pondus han hade idag när han gick runt och nej, ni får inte ha den där bollen, ni får den bollen och nej, nu ska tjejerna få vara här, nu får killarna flytta sig. Och
han har även pondus, tycker jag, i hela området. Han visade oss runt i själva området där alla bor och tog med oss på en liten guidad tur och liksom alla hälsade på honom, alla visste vem han var, alla kallade honom för coachen. Och så frågade Andreas varför. Så coach, det är just han som kallas för coach. Men då är han liksom, han är coachernas coach. Han har varit verksam i 15 år och bedrivit fotboll på liksom, ja, med ideella medel för att det är hans passion och för att han vill hjälpa ungdomar att utveckla sig i fotboll. Så att han är ju verkligen en stor person i den här
verkligen byn. Och förhoppningsvis så har han, dels har han sett saker hända de här 15 åren och han förhoppningsvis har. Det lät som vi redan innan intervjun när vi träffade honom att han har reflekterat en del kring det här. Och som sagt, han bor i slummen själv. Han har sannolikt inte ett välbetalt jobb. Men han verkar, hela den här dagen sen vi kom hit, så har han varit engagerad i den här akademin på ett eller annat sätt. Så att vi tar och lyssnar på Josef. Han kommer såklart få frågan om idrottens betydelse för samhället. Och ett par frågor till.
Okay, so we're sitting here in Kenya, yeah. In this
Kiandutu,
it's the village called,
yeah.
Together with Josef Ogutu. Nice to be here.
Yes, thank you. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
And we were told yesterday that you, Josef, you know everyone in this city and all the children and everyone. You are like the father for this organization, Agansa. You have been here for almost 15 years, right?
Yeah, I've been here for 15 years.
Okay, and very welcome to Football and Dom Samhälle, that's the Swedish name. Football and Society, Football and Female Society, I think if we translate it.
Or Football and Female Society.
Exactly, this is what the podcast is about.
Okay.
And we actually have the first question to all guests, because that's the question we wonder in many interviews, is about what kind of meaning do football have for the society? And now we ask you that question here in
Kiandutu. What football mean to the community?
Exactly.
Football to the community has really evolved to make the community more aware of what the youth are doing.
Okay.
Because it has really united the youth. It has really fight the vices like crime, drugs, and even somehow to the extent of fighting like early marriages. It has really managed to fight that vices also. So to the community here, it has really enabled the community to understand as well and also to give us the respect because of what we are doing in football. Yeah.
So I think we will talk a lot about that more, but can you just like go back in time a little bit and tell us your story? How did you come here and why did you start doing what you're doing?
Initially, I come from Mombasa, the coastal town. There I've been playing football. I left playing football around 1995, when I left playing active football.
Okay.
Then I started being as a local coach in that area. So when I came here, I came to my brother who was working here at Thika. So I was really interested in football in slums. So it's the time when I came to this slum, though I was not staying here, but I used to come to see what the youths are doing the slums. So that's where I come to in contact with youths playing football.
What's so interesting about football just in the slums?
It's really interesting because you find the youth in the slum, they have that ability to play football when they are still young, and they are really good at that tender age. You can say they are really talented. They're really talented. So when I realized their talent is when I started to give them the moral on how to be a good footballer. That's when they started to give me the name of a coach. So I started that way. That was when I was still not with the Angaza. I was just with the local teams. So we started like that. I was training the senior teams initially before...
Pro bono, with no money. You did that pro bono.
Pro bono, on my own.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was on my own without any assistance from anybody. So I started playing with the different teams from other parts of Thika. That's when I started to become known, because the talent that I had nurtured was now exposing it to the other areas. So it made me more popular within the Thika town.
Gave you like loyalty and respect.
So from there is when I also joined the tournament which was being played, organized by Angaza. It was in the other area, not far from here. So we started going there to play. So from there, they saw the interest on me, how because of the way I was handling the youths. So they put me also in the position in Angaza as also a coordinator from this area. So from there, they disbanded the center at the other area. So we came to start another center here in Kiandutu.
Okay, so the organization Angaza was already established.
It was already established.
Okay, and then so you brought it here to Kiandutu.
I'm the one who brought it here to Kiandutu. Because after there was a problem there, most of that area is not like the slums. So they wanted a place where there's some slums, where there's a lot of talent. So they had to shift to Kiandutu. So I was chosen as also the center coordinator and also the senior coach for the senior teams. So I started training the boys, the under 14. That was our most senior team by then. So we graduated from 14, then they went to under 16. Is when I delegated my job to another coach because I was having a very huge task of trying to see that I organize the tournament here. At the same time, I have a team. So I had to delegate a coach to assist me in the under 16 boys.
Let's start wrong, but I just need to go back. You said it's more talent in the slum. Why is it like that? Can you explain that?
Why it's more talent in the slums? Mm. In the slums, mostly is people are poor.
Mm.
And football is what they share is most. So most of their time, when they are young, they make that ball made of polythene papers. So they used to play that one.
Okay.
That's where the talent started. So when I came, I saw there was a lot of talent. So what was needed was how to nurture that talent. So my presence also added the value of that talent because they were just playing without knowing how they're supposed to play, the system of play. So that's what made me a name in this slum.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the poor people, they actually practice a lot.
Poor people, most in the slums, practice a lot. That's why a lot of talent is there.
You said you started with the boys when you first came here.
Yeah, I started with the boys.
Were there any girls who were playing at the time? Or?
There were girls, but the only problem that there was no other coach to assist the girls. Many coaches prefer coaching the boys. Maybe most of the coaches in the slums here prefer coaching senior boys.
Why?
That question is a little bit difficult, but to me, I would put it that they want maybe a team that can make them, give them a name to the big leagues. So that's why they prefer a senior boys than these underage.
Yeah. Do you think it's any more reasons? Because that's the question we all sometimes wonder, even in Sweden, because we are we have a lot of coaches, both in men and female, but 10 years ago, it was less coaches in female. Yeah, is it any more reasons, do you think, why men doesn't, or why they don't get coaches for the girls?
For the men, mostly don't like to coach girls. They complain that the girls are really complicated, and sometimes they're not easy to understand them, because today they are in the field. Tomorrow, if you want them, like you see now, a team that was coming far away was prepared before my team was there. So those are the weak points that most of the coaches, men coaches, don't want to train the girls' teams.
And why isn't the girls there and prepared? Well, what's the reason why they were not there this morning? Your team, what are they doing?
Most of the time, they complain that they are being given a lot of work at home. Mm. That's why what makes them to be late coming to the field. But most of the girls, sometimes I personally, like when I know that we are going to play tomorrow, I used to go to their parents to ask for permission. So it has really enabled me sometimes to work with them closely, the parents, the player, and me. Mm. So sometimes the parents sometimes do deny us the girls, mm. because the girls are also, the way I told you, they are complicated. Sometimes they do cheat that they are in the field, and yet they are not in the field. Mm-hmm. That has really made me to be taking their phone numbers, all the parents.
So they say to the parents that they're going to play football, and then they go do something else.
They go do something else. That's what has been.
That's not happening with the boys.
The parents do not take so much care to the boys than the girls.
Okay. They're more careful about the girls.
To the girls. So it has been a problem sometimes, because to tell a parent that I want your girl to come and play for my team, she'll just give me an answer that no. Why? Because she's going to be spoiled. That's their perspective.
Okay.
Yeah.
So has that perspective changed during the years?
It has really changed, because Angaza is also helping us a lot by giving some bursary to the needy students who are playing in the academy.
Mm.
And also we work a lot. We go to places. So when the parents are here that we are going somewhere and we'll be there for a week or so, they are really impressed, because the ladies are going to places that they have never gone to. So when they come back, they narrate their story of the place they were. And you see, when I arrived here, they were just playing without going anywhere. They were just within this locality. So with me coming, and with Angaza also coming in, so they have been more exposed to the other areas. Yeah.
So it seems even there that football is giving them more rights, even to leave their home, because football has opened both their eyes and their family's eyes.
Football is also giving them their rights, because sometimes a parent will deny her a chance to come and play, and she will sneak and come and play without the permission from the parents. Sometimes she will cheat the parent that she's coming to play, and yet she has gone to maybe her boyfriend. Mm. Mm. That's what sometimes is also giving a conflict between with the coaches and the parents, because the parents will start blame me.
Mm.
That I'm the one who's making the girls spoiled.
Mm.
Mm. So we find some parents deny us the permission to the girls.
Is that, I mean, the spoiled thing, but the girls being spoiled, are they afraid of the girls doing something they don't think they're allowed to, or are they afraid that they're going to be spoiled in the sense that they're getting self-esteem? In what sense are they afraid of them being spoiled?
Like, in the slums, we have early pregnancy. That is very common here in the slums. You find early marriages, which is not recognized. It is like, come we stay. And it is done by most, like I have been affected by that thing in my team. Find a good girl, leaving to play, and going to stay with their boyfriend. Starting like a life of marriage without a permission from the parents. So you find the parents coming to me, blaming me that without this, this could have not happened. You have made my daughter more exposed to other.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what do you say then?
No, okay. It's not mine.
Okay, just,
This one is not mine.
So what's your reaction then if someone blames you for their...
Normally to me, I used to have my book of record. I normally record when the time they are in practice and the time when we are going home. We start our practices at around 5:30. Then we finished our practice at around 6:30. When you enter the training session, you sign in. When we are going, we sign out. So any parents who come to me, I just show him the book. She was with me at this time. She departed at this time. So it has really enabled me to avoid that blame. So the blame is always on the lady's side. You are cheating because you told me that you were in the training and yet the coach has shown me that those who are in the training, you are not part of them. So it has really made it easy for me to work with the parents.
I understand.
Yeah.
But then I wonder another thing, that how come that you are not like the other, you're also a coach.
Yeah.
Like that, how come that you're fighting for the girls to play football as well? What have you, what's the reason for that? How do you think about that?
Yeah, the first thing, when I came here, there was a coach who was really coaching the ladies team. Though by then I wasn't interested in coaching the ladies team.
Okay, you weren't?
I was not interested in then.
You were like everyone coaching, had more or less
coaching men. But to my local team, there came ladies also. They formed a team which was opposing the other coach's team. So I had also to be their coach because I was the coach for all the teams in my... all the categories. One coach, 5 categories, plus the ladies' team. So from there is when I also developed that vigor.
Okay.
You seeing that the ladies are being marginalized. Whenever they want to play, you find the men saying, no, it's not their time. They should have come tomorrow, or they should have come yesterday. So that's where I started that to feel the pinch. If the ladies want to play and they are being denied that a chance to play and it's football, no way. I should stand by them. That's where I started giving them, fighting for their rights. That if it is a matter of football and football is for all genders, let's also showcase our ladies while they also play.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But even though...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We were at the pitch... yesterday,
yeah,
and Julia and Josefine, they should train the girls, and they they told them, come girls, we go to the big field and do the training. Yeah. And the girls in your team said, no, we can't be on the big field. We should be on the small one.
Yeah.
Because they seems a bit afraid for the boys.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Is this
it has been a problem sharing the field with the boys, because the boys always want a big share than the girls. So it sometimes...
Is it because they don't think that girls should play football, or is it because they think their own football is more important? What do you think?
They think the boys' football is more important than the girls' football. That's why most of the boys here, they don't see girls as really serious in... And what has motivated, what has made them to feel like that is that most of our girls, they end up pregnant. A good girl who was playing end up in pregnancy. So they have always been blaming the girls that I'm helping the girls, but they'll take me nowhere.
Okay, so that's like the common perspective on it.
Yeah.
But even you have a lot of television here. I've seen it even in the slum. But it still is world championships for female as well. And last year was more teams than ever, and a lot of teams from Africa with Cameroon and Nigeria and Ivory Coast and stuff like that. What is? Have you seen any change of attitude the latest year? But it is still very much
like
sport.
In Kenya. Not most people prefer girls' football.
No,
not most of them, because. Like
what's needed to that to change, do you think? What need to happen for that?
In order for people in Kenya to understand that ladies have the right to play, each team that is playing in the league must be having a ladies' team. Like now, we have a ladies' league, but if you compare it with the men's league, the fans... It's really rare for fans, male fans, to go and watch ladies' football. But when the male football is played in the bigger leagues, you will find a lot of men fans plus the ladies. So
but then it's a very exciting example with that team referee now in the Super League. Why did you think that she has succeeded? What's the reason behind that?
In fact, she was playing for my team.
Okay.
The previous team before I started training the others. Then we started training the referees. So she entered to be a referee. At the same time, she was helping me in training there. So what made her leave coaching was... The job in referee, so she had to leave coaching because she was not coming continuously.
But did you see another attitude at her compared to the other girls that you had in the team? Was she special in any way?
She was really special because she was really hardworking, and most of the time she was in practice. She could do her own practice before the coach arrived, and sometimes I was not there, she could start organizing the other players. She could tell them to leave the ball behind so that we could be trained without the ball first. Then, though she was not good in playing inside, but she was a good coordinator.
Okay.
Yeah, she helped in coordinating the girls in football.
But then I also wonder, because now, as you said, I understand that it's more men that are interested in football, but when we were here, we just have seen men coaches. No female coaches. What's the reason behind that? Because even though maybe older women that maybe like you would like to fight for equal rights, and football could make that happen, what do you think that they don't engage in an organization like this? Or that they might do, but in other ways. I haven't seen them.
The women?
Yes, exactly.
The only problem here in the slums, like football needs a lot of perseverance. Most don't want to persevere. They just think it can just be quick. Today I'm a coach. Tomorrow I'm just a rich somebody. So perseverance is what cost them. Like for me now...
You mean patience?
Yeah, patience. Yeah. They don't want to be patient. They know, like, there's a lady now. I tried to have several to be acting like my assistant coach, the heavy lady.
up to now, she has been coming once. And then I tried also to give another, the ladies at the 12 team to coach. Up to now, see, we don't have ladies. We have very few under 12 ladies, because most of those who are training the ladies, they were just not serious. So we had to disband that category, because whenever we give them the uniforms, these girls just go with the uniform, because sometimes if they come, they don't get the coach. And we imagine at that time, me, I'm training the boys. Mm.
But more or less, all, what you're saying is also, the coaches here, a lot of them, they're having dreams of becoming like a coach in a good league. So that's why they're here. It's not, because sometimes I think people should also be here because they will do something good for the society. Yeah. Are women allowed? Do they have time to do things that, like that here as well? Or is it the men thing to do?
Yeah, the women are much allowed to do what the men are also doing. It's only that they need also to be supported by the men.
Hmm.
If they don't get that support from men, it won't be easy. Like, it will make them just to despair and to leave playing football. But if we could have men really supporting ladies, it can work. That, because sometimes, if you are a good example, you see, I didn't play with those senior team while you were playing. I knew why. Because if I could have played, then things could have messed. There is a problem in them organizing themselves. So men should also get an example from me.
Mm.
Instead of just engaging in men's affairs,
yeah.
It should be good for us to engage in women's affairs if you want to promote soccer, yeah, in this region. Yeah.
But I've been here now for 1.5 days, and I've seen the girls play, and I think that the teenage girls, they looked a little bit insecure, and as Per was saying, they didn't like dare to go and play on the big pitch because they were a little bit afraid of taking the boys' pitch. But I see the younger girls, they seem to be more like believing in themselves and a little bit more brave. The ones that are like 9 or 8 or 10.
Yeah.
Is that like the thing, that are they brave, and then when they get older they get on a bit more insecure, or is it, can you see a change in the newer generations?
Yeah, there's a change in the newer generation. Like they're upcoming, they're 12.
Mm.
They are really tough and really ready to play in any field, but as time goes, they get some problems because of the situation in the slums.
Mm.
As I told you, they start getting boyfriends somehow like that. That's also weakened their talents. Like, he finds he has a boyfriend, he sometimes abscond training. She trains maybe twice. So that's the time that she started losing the moral of playing football. Yeah.
So we were talked about that, but what do you need, what do you think still is needed to change that stuff? So to make it more equal, and like, so that women could continue and...
First, I would like this one to go to our own government. They have to be serious with the girls. They have to protect the girls, because I have tried me personally to the extent that sometimes I get beef with the men, because most of the boyfriends are the same players in the academy. So I've been like a watchman to them, watching them all the way they go. So it has made me sometimes to have enemies. You get it? So what I would say to our government, to put a law that will protect a girl child to a certain age, that when she reaches at least 20 years, that one is at least she's able to decide on her own if she can get married, or if she can continue playing football. But you find, like most of the girls here, they started going with the boys at the age of 14, 15. So when they attain 18, they're already mothers.
And still, still thinking, going back to you, Josef, because you're one of more senior coaches here, and you're born in the old
generation.
Yeah. But you having this attitude, still I wonder, what did that come from? Do you think you're special here, or do you think...
My attitude towards favoring the ladies.
Mm. Or favoring or making them more... Just giving them the same rights.
The same rights, because also my where I was born and educated, I was maybe my parents died a long time ago when I was still a child, both the father and the mother. Okay. So I was taken care of by my sister.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was taken care of by my sisters. So that's what made me also to feel sympathy on the girl child. Whenever I see a girl child, I remember my sister, the way she used to take care of me. Yeah. That's also what has made me also feel that the girls should have the right.
And do you also think that your passion for football is like, you're passionate about the sport and you want everyone to feel the same right to play the sport as you have?
Yeah, I would like them to feel that passion of playing football like I used to play. So, like the men also play. Mm. The girls also need to be playing the same way. Yeah.
What do you think about the future here? Can you, like, it has been a development now, and do you think you see a bright future for the girls in this neighborhood?
Yeah, I see a bright future in this neighborhood because it's not the way it was 2000. Mm. Now at least the girls, they can go to school. They can explain to others the problem they underwent, and also, more importantly, they play football like any other men are playing. So I see a bright future. Maybe in 5 years' time, I'll have 3 or 4 players playing for the national team, and that is what my vision is about.
Yeah. That's a great vision.
Yeah.
I'd like to go back to the first question, because for some people, football is just a plain sport. It's just football. But you said that the meaning of football for this could be even like less robbery and stuff like that. Yeah. How can you explain? How can sport and football have that meaning? How can that change?
It's changed because you are a footballer and you want to engage in yourself in crime. When you're in the field, the coach trains you a lot. So when you go back home, you're tired and don't have any time to go and do other stuff at night. So it has really curtailed that way most of the players engage in crime. They have been like so tired now after practices. And also it has made them known. A good player is known, so it's not easy for him to engage in crime, because he might go to somebody who is known to him as a player, and maybe he was a fan. So it has also made us, at least that crime rating for footballers has really dropped down. Not as it was back. When I came here, there was also a cult. That cult was, you play football in the day, and you're a criminal at night.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that could be a negative thing about football if you have that attitude.
Yeah, that attitude. But nowadays, you are a footballer, you play football, after playing football, you go and relax, you wait for another day. So it has really changed.
Is there a high criminal rate amongst the other youth that are not playing in the sports?
The rate is now lowering. Not that as it was previous, because initially we didn't have the lights at night, so it was totally dark. So people were now using that chance at night, that because you not understand who was coming to you to steal from you. But nowadays, because there are lights and the population has really increased, so it has really been hard for the youths also to engage in crime. though there are some few who are still engaged in crime, but sometimes they do today, tomorrow they're in prison. So while in prison, they also learn that there's also another chance. I was in prison yesterday, this time, let me come back and start playing football. So you have two of them who have been jailed, and they, after finishing the jail term, we called them to the team, and now they're really good. They have really changed.
Great.
They have really changed dramatically. People couldn't understand what made them change us, because they are really bad guys.
Yeah. So football is more than football?
Football is more than football. It's football and education. Mm. Because sometimes I used to advise them, because crime does not pay. Today you are... before me joining Angaza with my former team, I had lost almost 7 players in crime.
Oh.
Because during that time they were just... And I was still new. I couldn't just handle them the way a coach could handle a player, because they were in a certain cult. And, you know, I'm different from this tribe.
Okay.
I'm not of this tribe.
No.
So it was not easy for me to advise them on which way they should follow as a coach. So it was really difficult, because it was now a government against them. They were trying to sideshow the government. It was another political outfit, which was a mixture of cultural and whatever. So it was really hard for me also to try to show them this the way, because it was like, if you try to tell them this is not the right way, tomorrow you'll be found dead.
Do you have any clue about how many children you have been coaching during the years around?
I can have a good guess.
Mm. Please have a guess.
Because some are now parents. And I can say they can reach 500 and over.
500 and over.
Yeah.
And right now, how many kids do you meet on a weekly basis here?
On a weekly basis? Plus academy players, plus all the other players.
So do you recognize and know how many of these
kids? Maybe 200 in a day.
200 in a day?
Yeah, 200 in a day.
And I also think that's pretty important, that they know you and they know each other, and that's also society.
It has really helped me, because as I told you, this area was really a crime-prone area.
Mm.
But to me, I used to feel more secure, because whenever I pass, they call me coach. Mm. Even they are criminals, but they call me coach, and I pass my way.
Mm.
So it's also like a tool to me. It was like a tool to me to protect myself, because even my family, they cannot be threatened by anybody.
Mm.
Because they know that's coach family. See, our football has really made me...
The football family. It's big. It's a
very big family. And bear in mind that in politics, we have the two tribes.
Mm.
Me, my tribes, I'm from Luo. And the people from this, they are called Kikuyus. They are now the ones in the government.
Okay.
The ruler, the president of this country is from this area.
Okay.
The opposition leader
is from
my tribe, but the respect they adore to me, they don't regard me as of the opposite tribe. They just see me as a coach.
Mm.
Right. So you see how football has made me more popular among them. Mm. Yeah,
fantastic.
And I think also one other positive thing that I've seen here so far is that, even though the people that are not playing football, they gather around the matches and they gather around the pitch. So
yeah,
it's like a place for people to hang out and meet. And
Yeah. Sometimes in the afternoon, maybe in the morning, in the afternoon, you'll find a lot of youths.
Yeah.
They just want to see football.
Yeah.
I'll think about the last question. Do you have some more question before that?
No.
Because we also finish with a last question to all the guests, because we believe that that if you could increase publicity for female football, that it could then it could help the sport a lot. So we asked the guests, what do they think is needed to increase the publicity for female football? What could get female football more accepted or interested or like here in Kenya? What's needed?
Like for me personally, I'm initiating a project. I would call it a project whereby I'll be going to the schools to ask for players, all students who are really ready to join Angaza from 14 years to 16. Because a girl's lifespan in football is very minimal. Girls only play for, if not 2 to 3 years, and they're out. So I want to start another age category that when the seniors have gone, I'll be left with these juniors who will be graduating to the senior teams. And to my country also, I would like them, when ladies' league is being played, they put aside the men's league first, and they give the priority to the ladies' team. Then that will also make people really interested in seeing how ladies are played.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, yeah, for having us here and showing us around and talking to us today.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Josef, spännande man, herre.
En eldsjäl, tycker jag.
Ja, verkligen. Och det var en sån här intervju som, ja, att bara för härligt sitta och samtala med någon.
Mm.
Sen hade vi lite tekniska, dels har vi lite tekniska problem med språket, eller mitt eget språk. Kände att jag inte pratade engelska väldigt länge, vår pappa ledde, så jag ber respekt för det, men jag tror att ni fattar. Det blir lite African English också.
African English och Swenglish hörde jag mycket.
Ja, men så är det.
Man förstår.
Man förstår.
Tyvärr så var det lite tekniska problem som Per sa, som gjorde att det var lite grejer som klippte som inte kom med, vilket var väldigt synd. Vi pratade under en tidig intervjun om tjejers självförtroende och att, ja, men tjejerna tror inte, föräldrarna tror inte på tjejerna, tjejerna tror inte på sig själva, och därmed är det också svårt för dem att hävda sin rätt gentemot killarna, till exempel när det handlar om att de har rätt till fotbollsplan eller har rätt att spela fotboll. Så att de har en ganska tuff situation, tjejerna, där Josef verkligen är en sån som försöker förespråka att tjejer ska spela fotboll och visa att han tror på dem i alla fall. Men det är verkligen utmaningar där, för att killarna negligerar liksom tjejernas rätt att spela fotboll, och föräldrarna stöttar dem inte heller, så det blir svårt för tjejerna att tro på sig själva då.
Verkligen, och det var nästan det första vi reagerade på när vi hade första träningen på plats där, att jag vet att Julia Josefin sa, vi går in på plan och håller träningen och känner, nej, vi får inte vara där. Men sen gick ju Julia Josefin en helt annan syn på det. Självklart ska vi vara här, snarare tvärtom. Nu ska vi visa dem. Och precis som du sa, men föräldrarna litar inte på att dels att tjejerna ska gå till fotbollen, eller att de ska ha, varför ska de ens hålla på med fotboll?
Mm.
Och tjejerna själva har väl fått inpränt, alltså det är det samhället, den normen de lever i. Mm. Och känner att vi ska inte vara på den fina planen. Alltså det var den känslan de hade. Och det var det som Josef försökte berätta, liksom, att det är den kulturen. Och om både föräldrarna har det, grabbarna på andra sidan plan, och sen faktiskt tjejerna själva har det, så är det problematiskt.
Mm. Men för det var också svårt för Josef att jobba med dem. Så han tyckte också att det var en utmaning att träna tjejerna på grund av det här.
Ja. Och ja, det gör vi ett litet tillägg på. Vi ska vara spännande, vi får ju träffa tjejerna. Vi gör ett seminarium imorgon också med dem. Sen och det därför gör vi också så på de här avsnittet att vi tänker ta att reflektera kring hela temat Kenya-resan när vi är klar. Så att vi kommer tillbaka till avsnittet när vi har träffat. Imorgon träffar vi, efter seminariet träffar vi några av de kvinnliga eller de tjejspelarna. Och hör deras röst, och sen träffar vi kanske fler gäster.
Mm. Och så vill vi avslutningsvis också tacka EFD, Elitfotbolldam. För det är faktiskt på grund av dem som vi kan åka hit.
Mm, trevligt.
Tack och hej, vi hörs snart igen.
Tack, hej.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.